As winter bears down, an urgent appeal for more help for Afghanistan. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The United Nations is asking for $5 billion to help alleviate a worsening humanitarian disaster in Afghanistan. Roughly half the population is struggling to find enough to eat, and it's believed 1 million children under the age of five are facing starvation. Before the Taliban took control of the country in August, Afghanistan relied on international funding for the bulk of its public services, but that's now all but dried up. Dominic Stillhart, Director of Operations for the International Committee of the Red Cross, says more flexibility is required from foreign governments to ensure essential services can resume.
If it doesn't happen, the free fall of Afghanistan will continue. We will see death, we will see desperation, and perhaps even worse, we will see the risk of a serious destabilization of the situation in Afghanistan, because desperation will be such that groups such as the Islamic State group, they will have no problem recruiting people into their ranks and lead to further destabilization of this country.
With the economy in a downward spiral, millions of people across the country are out of work. They have no money for food or even fuel to keep warm as the country faces a bitterly cold winter ahead. The BBC's Quentin Somerville went to food distribution centers to meet Afghans seeking aid for the first time in their lives.
So yesterday they distributed about 900 plus wheelbarrows full of food. Today it's 1,200. They're aiming for over 5,000. The interesting thing is when you look at the people queuing here, and it's a long queue, they're from all classes, middle classes as well as the poorest.
It's snowing heavily today and it's bitterly cold. Wrapped in a shawl is Sabera. She's 65. She can't afford the dollar taxi fare, so she's hired a boy with a wheelbarrow for 20 cents to get home with her food from the World Food Programme aid station. It's never been this bad, she tells me.
What can we do? There is no money to buy food. All the men are jobless and nothing to eat. There is no firewood to warm our homes, and I am also sick.
I've escaped the city and made it to Awadak province, just outside Kabul. Most of Afghanistan is rural, and you really get a sense of that here. We're surrounded by apple orchards, peach orchards, and a blanketing of snow. It's about 3 feet deep here. When we arrive in Maiden Shah, there are food lines stretching through the centre of town.
Victorious after 20 years of war, Taliban fighters are now reduced to guarding food queues. They remain international pariahs. Bizarrely, humanitarian aid is allowed into the country, but international sanctions are at the same time crippling the economy, as if one didn't cancel out the other. Fareed Ahmed is running today's food distribution here in Wardak.
The parents come here asking for or begging for some flour. They say, just give us a little flour so that when we get home and bake the bread, our children can be fed with just its smell. This is the situation here.
Pari is 45 or 50 years old. She isn't sure. She's the second wife and supports six family members. She just picked up some flour and some salt and some oil. That will last her about 15 days. But beyond that, she sees very little hope.
The Indira Gandhi Hospital is at the end of my old street, in the Wazir Akbar Khan neighbourhood. Staff here have been paid, which is unusual under the current circumstances. There's no money. Afghanistan's health services are still functioning, but only thanks to international aid. 1 million Afghan kids will suffer severe malnutrition this year. 1.5-year-old Saraya has the most beautiful big brown eyes. Her mum, Sadiqa, who's 17, rubs her baby's swollen belly. Her husband was an Afghan army soldier. Now he's unemployed.
When we came here, she needed a blood transfusion and she was malnourished. Thank God she's so much better than she was.
10 years ago, I lived next door to this hospital. It was a time of a great surge of men, material and billions of dollars into Afghanistan. Who knows what they were trying to create, but it wasn't this. It wasn't a country where half the people, more than half the people, are going hungry, and babies like Saraya are near starvation.
That's the BBC's Quentin Somerville reporting there. A quick update on a story we told you about yesterday. After pressure from a number of countries worried about disruptions to power supply, Indonesia has agreed to loosen a ban on coal exports. The move has sent Chinese thermal coal futures down today. They'd rallied when the ban went into place on January 1st. Checking some other numbers now, stocks across Asia followed Wall Street lower, ending today's session solidly lower there. The Nikkei closed down 0.9%, while the Shanghai Composite ended 0.7% lower. Here in Europe, the mood is considerably more upbeat, with benchmarks in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan up in the 0.4% to 1% range. Well, London's main international airport, Heathrow, said today fewer passengers traveled through the airport in 2021 than the year before. Perhaps that's the opposite of what you might think. The BBC's Katie Austin has been digging through the numbers to find out why.
Heathrow said they only welcomed about 19.4 million passengers in 2021. Now, that is about a quarter of the passenger numbers in 2019, but it's below even what happened in 2020 when Heathrow handled about 22 million passengers. They're not explicitly saying why that is, but they're placing a very heavy emphasis on the impact of travel restrictions. When we're looking at the passenger numbers, in 2021, the real hit when we were looking at passenger numbers was from those from North America and the Asia Pacific in particular, where there was a 40% drop in passengers across 2021. So that goes some way to explaining just why Heathrow's passenger numbers were lower last year than even 2020, which we would have thought of as the peak of the pandemic.
Now, is this a pattern that's playing out at other airports around the world? Because we know that the UK was one of the very first to implement travel restrictions because of the Omicron variant.
Heathrow is not alone. The Airports Council International says that passenger traffic at Europe's airports is estimated to have fallen by 20% in the 3 weeks after the first report of Omicron in late November. So that is something that has had an impact on a wider scale. It's not just Heathrow. It's not just the UK being affected.
The BBC's Katie Austin for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
You're welcome.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.